Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the day of Pentecost comes from our gospel reading of John. Jesus said, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you." In the name of Jesus. Let's be honest with ourselves here. Every single year when we celebrate Pentecost, I think we feel a little bit disappointed. We want a more Pentecostally sort of Pentecost. Each special feast day of the church year, we do seem to do a pretty good job at bringing out what is special out of it into our divine service. Just think about it. On Christmas Eve, we all gather around a candlelight at the end of the service, and we sing Silent Night, just like they did in Bethlehem so long ago. I know, they probably didn't have a really silent night that first time with the whole birth-giving thing and newborn crying stuff. But we do get to sing with the angels, and we get to sing that Hosanna in the highest on Christmas morning, which is wonderful. And Holy Week, that's probably an even better example, beginning with their own little procession, with the kids waving palm branches as they come into church here, just like on the true Palm Sunday. And then paying particular attention to the Lord's Supper on Maundy Thursday, and slipping into ever-increasing darkness on Good Friday. And then those alleluias, they return on Easter morning with a joyful celebration of the resurrection. And so there is at least a little bit of us that would like to experience something special on Pentecost. But there's no mighty rushing wind sweeping through this sanctuary today. And there's no flames dancing on our heads like we see up on that stained glass window above the organ there. And to the best of my knowledge, none of us have started speaking in tongues yet. And let me know, please, if that actually does start happening. I want to see it for myself. So maybe it's just me, but Pentecost always seems to be a bit of a letdown. And I dare say that's because we always want more than what God has actually promised to give to us. We're always looking for the miraculous when God, so often, no, almost every single time, just works through the simple. And perhaps that's one of the problems that our sinful flesh actually has. We think that when God works, he has to work in a big and crazy sort of way that's unmistakable. But that's rarely how God actually does things. And I know the Bible is chocked full of stories of the miraculous. We get to see it all over the Old Testament, in the stories of the Red Sea crossing and walls of Jericho tumbling and lions' mouths in a den shutting. We get to see it in the Gospels too. When Jesus, he feeds a multitude of people with a minuscule of food, or he heals a sick man, or a leper, or casts out a demon, or when he raises Lazarus from the dead. And then on Pentecost, that first one, we do get to see that fire and the speaking in tongues. And so I think we tend to think that the miraculous can only happen when big, amazing, and unbelievable things take place. But more often than not, God brings about his good gospel-y gifts through the normal, everyday, mundane things that we get to hear, and we get to feel on our foreheads, and we get to taste. And truth be told, that's exactly what Jesus promised on that very first Pentecost. And again, I know we do have that miraculous speaking in tongues with Peter and the rest of the apostles. And they're speaking in the language of the Medes and the Elamites and the people of Pontus, wherever that was. And all the rest of the places that we hear about in our reading from Acts. And while we focus on this miraculous gift that landed upon the apostles, we oftentimes forget of that miraculous gift, of the purpose of it. And here, too, I think, is another problem of ours. When we're talking about spiritual gifts, whatever those might be that we hear about in the book of Acts, or that Paul will tell us about in his epistles, we focus on the receiver of those gifts and exclaim how wonderful it is that they got to receive those. But those types of spiritual gifts, almost actually all of the gifts that our Lord gives to us, they're never for the receiver, but for the receiver's neighbor. And so when we're talking about Pentecost, the apostles didn't receive the gift of speaking in different languages for their own good, because honestly, what good would have that done? No, they get to speak in the language of the Medes for the sake of the Medes. And they get to speak in the language of whatever they spoke in Cappadocia for the sake of the Cappadocians. The gift of Pentecost is not for the apostles, although they are the ones who actually get the gift, but is given to them and given through them for the sake of everyone else around, everyone else in the whole known world. The apostles, they got to speak a myriad of different languages so that everyone that they came in contact with could hear in their own tongue the mighty works of God. Namely, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for the forgiveness of their sins and rose again for their justification. And so Pentecost is a day not for the apostles, but for the church. So tell me then, how is today any different than that? Through that miraculous gift that took place on that very first day of Pentecost, God made sure that the good gospely news of a crucified Christ would make its way into the ears of people throughout all of the world. And so 2,000 years later, Pentecost is still finding its fulfillment as the message of Jesus and his forgiveness of sins continues to make its way to all peoples and into all languages, because the work is still tirelessly taking place. The Bible still being translated into various tongues, even today, so that people can read and hear of God's love for them in Christ, in their very own language. People in Russia get to hear of Jesus in Russian. People in Madagascar get to hear of Jesus in Malagasy. And you sitting here, Wheat Ridge Evangelical Lutheran Church, get to hear of Jesus for you. In English. And I know it's not as flashy as that first day of Pentecost, but tell me, honestly, is that any less of a miracle? Is it any less of a miracle that God has made sure, deemed it good and right and salutary, that 2,000 years after that first day of Pentecost, his word of salvation has still made it over the centuries, across oceans, through good times and bad times, in order that you might be able to hear with your very own ears that Jesus died on the cross to forgive you all your sins, that he descended into hell to preach his victory to the demons, that he burst forth from the tomb, promising to you that because his grave is empty, so too shall yours be one day. What more do you need to know this day of Pentecost? That Pentecost is still for you. That Jesus is most assuredly, yes, for you. You get to hear of him and his cross in your very own language, so that the Holy Spirit can create, enliven, and strengthen in your heart a faith that grasps onto the gifts that Jesus won for you on the cross. That's what Jesus is talking about in our gospel reading for today. On the night that he was betrayed, after he instituted the Lord's Supper, which we'll take part of in just a few minutes, that would be taken out into the world and shared to all the church through the words of the apostles. And so Jesus, he promises to those very same apostles that they'll receive the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, and the Spirit will glorify, just like the gospel reading says, the Son, because he will take what is the Son's. He will take what Jesus what he earned and won and completed on the cross. And he'll declare it to them so that they might declare it to everyone else. Jesus promised his cross and his passion, his death and his burial, his life and his resurrection will be taken off of that hill in Calvary and out of that tomb in the garden and will be delivered to every man, woman, and child. But that's the way that the cross comes to us, through that proclamation of the word. The apostles received the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, and they proclaimed the good news of Jesus to the masses that very first Pentecost in words that those people could hear in their foreign ears so that they could understand. For the language that they heard was their own language, which means that the words that were spoken were words for them, which means that the promises of Jesus, yes, were for them, which means that Jesus and his cross were for them. And now we fast forward 2,000 years later, sitting in these pews, and we have that same gift of Pentecost too. Not that we can miraculously speak in many different languages, but that the gospel is proclaimed in your language, meaning that the cross and Jesus are for you. And how do you know it? Because you hear it. Because the Spirit works through the words of the gospel that you hear and that you understand, and he creates faith in your heart, a faith which just grasps onto those promises of the Lord and makes them your own. And so, yes, Pentecost 2024 is just as miraculous as Pentecost 33 AD. Because the same exact miracle is taking place. Not that we speak in tongues, but that the cross is brought to you 2,000 years later, and you are brought to faith. You're sustained in your faith. You receive the forgiveness of sins spoken into your ears and splashed upon your forehead and placed upon your tongue, making it absolutely sure and certain that this Jesus that you hear of in your very own language is for you, and he's yours. And for the saints here at Wheat Ridge Evangelical Lutheran Church, we have something a little bit more special today too, as we've made it our recent tradition to celebrate the rite of confirmation on Pentecost. Not sure if there's a better day. Brecken and Emmaus have spent the last 2 years hearing of all of this in their own language, with words that their ears can understand. The truths and promises of Christ Jesus that they received in their baptisms. And they've learned of God's law in the Ten Commandments. And they've learned of God's gospel in the Creed. And God's gift of prayer in the Lord's Prayer, God's gift of adoption in baptism, God's gift of forgiveness of sins in confession and absolution, God's gift of unity and communion in the Lord's Supper. The Holy Spirit has sustained these two in the faith that was once poured out for them when they were infants. And now, this morning, in just a few moments, he enlivens their own tongues to speak in their own language a hearty and thankful amen to all of the gifts and promises of their Lord. In only a few short moments, they're going to stand right up here. They're going to declare before earth and heaven and publicly proclaim that the confession that we hold here at Wheat Ridge Evangelical Lutheran Church, the one that we have drawn from the Holy Scriptures through the work of the Holy Spirit, is their confession. Not that they've made it for themselves or made it their own, but that the Holy Spirit has already done this for them. He's already made it theirs. What a great, glorious day. And for the rest of us here, members, all of us sitting here in these pews, we have this joyful honor of watching the miracle of Pentecost still take place right before our own very eyes, for we get to say a hearty and thankful amen to all of the words and promises of our Lord which are given to us, but we also get to wrap up this young man and this young woman in that amen of ours. We get to rejoice that this life-giving confession of faith in a crucified and risen Jesus for the forgiveness of sins is shared by us, sitting in this pew, all of these pews, and most especially shared by Brecken and Emmaus this morning. We never again really have to ever think of Pentecost as something that only happened a long time ago, some pointless day in which we only remember the miraculous of way back then, for Pentecost is alive and well, and it will be until that glorious day and when Christ comes again. And this morning, the proof of that, that Pentecost is still alive and well, is the people in these pews. And yeah, especially these two right there. In the name of Jesus.